Welcome to the Hanover Messianic Ministries audio presentation of the devotional study series entitled The First Regathering, Modern Israel. In this portion of our study, Hanover Messianic Ministries Director Pastor Bob Morris will continue tracing important events in the history of the modern state of Israel. Pastor Bob will continue the class by discussing significant events that occurred during the months of June and July during the year 2002. He will then conclude our class with a theological wrap-up. Following the teaching session, you'll be given information explaining how to contact Hanover Messianic Ministries with your questions and to order additional resources. Now let's begin lesson number 19. Here's Pastor Bob Morris.
Let's start now with lesson 19 of our class, The First Regathering, Modern Israel, a class that has examined the work of God in the world as He has brought the Jewish community from the diaspora back to our own land, the land of Israel. We finished up last lesson dealing with the year 2002, a very, very important and tumultuous year in the history of the nation of Israel. A lot of important events have occurred just in the first few months. So we have come through to June of 2002. Our last subject that we covered was the 34th Zionist Congress in Jerusalem. Also in June of 2002, Israel began to build a security fence. Israel decided to build a 217-mile fence designed to shield it from suicide bombers. Arafat rejected the fence. He called it fascist and apartheid. That's quite comments coming from a man of his disposition. Now, the fence is meant to provide security. It's not meant to form a border. This fence will consist of walls, of fences, of ditches, of patrol roads, and electronic surveillance devices. It will cost $200 million and is expected to be completed in less than a year. The United States also criticized the decision, not of course in the terms that Yasser Arafat criticized it, but the United States also was not happy with the fence. Although you wonder how we could speak of that, how we'll feel if a number of terrorists enter our shores and begin suicide bombings. We may change our tune on criticizing that fence. Well, as the fence came, as the fence was constructed, immediately it came under attack by gunmen south of Afula. There was no damage or casualties. Construction was only temporarily halted. And so this fence is not looked on with very, very positive terms by the Palestinians. An additional 30-mile-long electronic fence is also going up, and this additional fence will protect three sides of Jerusalem, and it will have the same aim, the aim of keeping suicide bombers out of the city. Let's move to June 24, 2002, and Operation Determined Path. In mid-June of 2002, a wave of suicide attacks killed 30 Israelis. And so in response, Israel launched a new operation that was dubbed Determined Path. Coordinated with Operation Determined Path came a significant change in Israeli strategy. Israel will now respond to acts of terror by capturing PA territory. The territory will be held as long as terror continues, more terror attacks will lead to Israel taking more territory. Now, the change did not come without criticism. The criticism came from the idea of a long-term reoccupation of territory. Any long-term reoccupation of territory means that Israel becomes responsible for everything from health to sewage. And such a responsibility for the West Bank and Gaza would pose an incredible burden upon Israel. Yasser Arafat fruitlessly called for an end to terror attacks and asked that President Bush implement the end of the Madrid conference. But the remarks that he made in response to Operation Determined Path were not made on TV, they were not made on radio, and so they had very limited exposure. Again, in response to Operation Determined Path, Arafat backtracked. He also announced that he'd be willing to accept the December 2000 Camp David Clinton peace plan, in which 95% to 96% of the West Bank was offered to the Palestinian Authority. And in addition, he announced that presidential and parliamentary elections would be held in mid-January of 2003. However, instead of a warm welcome for his repentance, for his turnabout, President Bush reacted in a very different way. President Bush urged the Palestinians to replace Yasser Arafat and to adopt a practicing democracy leading to an independent state in 3 years. Well, President Bush's statement was flatly rejected by the Palestinian leadership. Yasser Arafat even denied that he was the man in question. Was Bush talking about me? No, not me. Absolutely not. The Arab world reacted with official silence from governments and expressions of outrage from the Arab media. And our last major comment that I'll make regarding the history of Israel takes place on July 10th, 2002, in which the largest Aliyah group from North America came to Israel, the largest group in 25 years. Approximately 400 immigrants from the United States and Canada landed at Ben Gurion International Airport as the largest group from North America, the largest Aliyah group from North America in 25 years. The party was sponsored by Nefesh B'Nefesh, and another 150 North Americans are expected to arrive later this summer via the sponsorship of Nefesh B'Nefesh. Nefesh B'Nefesh would mean soul by soul. So that brings us to July of 2002 and to the current time that this class is being recorded. And so we'll have to quit right at this point with the our class on the history of modern Israel. This is where things stand as of July 2002. However, I'd like to bring the class to a close with a little bit of a theological wrap-up. Let's return to let's turn our thoughts again to the Bible and to what God has to say about this whole situation in the Middle East. And there are two questions that I'd like to center our theological wrap-up around. And the two questions are these. Why is all this happening? Why is all this happening? And why is there this unending struggle in the Middle East, this ongoing war against Israel and against the Jewish people? Well, I'd like to just share four facets to that answer, four parts to that answer. Part number one, facet number one, is that we have to remember that what's going on in Israel today is a religious war. Ultimately, what's going on in Israel today is paganism against truth. Islam, the Muslim religion, against the truth of the Bible. You see, the Muslims claim that Muhammad is a prophet of God and that the God of the Quran is the same God found in the Bible. However, if you compare the two religions, you'll find that they are poles apart on many areas. For example, the Abrahamic covenant is a key area where the two religions are poles apart. The Bible says that the land of Israel was given clearly and unequivocally to the Jewish people, and yet the Muslims claim that the land does not belong to the Jewish people, but belongs to the Palestinian Arabs. It belongs to, as they have stated recently, to the Arab Canaanites. They are claiming that they are the descendants of the Canaanites. So what we really have here is a war of paganism against biblical truth. Unfortunately, the Muslim religion does not seem to put a high value on truth, and that there are many, many lies formulated in the Middle East conflict. The attitude of the Muslim people seems to be the ends justify the means, and an example of that would be the claim that Israel had committed a massacre in the Jenin camp, with the Palestinian Arabs claiming that 3,000 people had been massacred by the Israeli forces. And when the truth came out, it was 55 people were killed, of which 7 were civilians, and the rest were armed gunmen. The fact that the ends seem to justify the means in Islam makes it a very different religion from the Bible, in which the means are just important, just as important than the ends. What we do is just as needs to be just as righteous and just as godly as how we do it. And so let me repeat. One of the things we have to keep in mind is that this is a religious war in the Middle East, paganism against biblical truth. The false god, Allah, against the true God, the God of the Bible, the Lord. And don't let anyone confuse you or cause you to believe that Allah and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the same. They are not. The God Allah is very different from the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And just a cursory comparison of the two beliefs will show that out. So remember, this is paganism, and what it really boils down to is Satan against God. This is the second aspect of my answer. Why is all this happening? Why the unending struggle in the Middle East? This is part of the war of Satan against God. You see, Satan was God's highest created being, the most brilliant, beautiful, and wise being that God ever made, and yet this creature chose rebellion. And God promised that he would bring this rebellion to an end and restore his creation to perfection. And so Satan has a limited career. His career will come to an end one day, and he knows it, but he still stubbornly persists in the idea that he will be like God, that he will be the messianic person, and that he will be in charge of creation. That will be shown false. But until that is, until this battle is finally ended, God, in majestic royalty and security, is allowing his plan to work itself out in the universe, no matter what Satan does. So remember that this is the second aspect of the answer. All this is happening in the Middle East because this is a symptom of the war of Satan against God. The third aspect regarding the answer to this question deals with promises made to the Jewish people. You see, God, in his redemptive purposes, chose a people for himself, the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then he gave to the Jewish people certain promises. These promises are found in the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant is in Genesis chapter 12. It was passed on to Isaac. Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob to all 12 tribes. And so the Abrahamic covenant comes down to the Jewish person today because they are descended of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in that Abrahamic covenant, God made 3 promises to Abraham and the Jewish people, or I should say the patriarchs and the Jewish people, because these promises were made not only to Abraham, but Isaac and Jacob as well. And the promises break down into 3 basic segments. They're land promises, seed promises, and spiritual promises. And we looked at these promises as we looked at the theological introduction to our class. And so there are promises made to the Jewish people. And God is a righteous God and a truthful God, and that means that he has to keep his promises. He is a promise-keeping God. Now, Satan's career would be safe. Satan's career would be assured if he could show that, one, God is not omnipotent, and secondly, God is not to be trusted. He is not a promise-keeping God. He does not keep his word. And the promises in the Bible are made to the Jewish people, and so if these promises can be negated, or if the Jewish people can be destroyed, then the promises will not see their fulfillment. And so there's the third aspect to the answer. Why this unending struggle in the Middle East? Why is all this happening? Why? Because the Jewish people are God's chosen people. If they are destroyed, then God cannot fulfill his promises to them. God will be shown to be weak. He couldn't care for his own people. He will be shown to be untrustworthy. He gave lies. He gave promises that were really lies. He will be shown to be powerless. He doesn't have the ability to follow through. He will be shown to be unrighteous because he did not keep his promises. If all that can be shown, then Satan's career is safe, because then God is no different from Satan. And so that's why Satan aims his focus at the Jewish people, to destroy them. Because if he can destroy the Jewish people, then the promises will not come to pass. And what are one of those promises? One of those promises is the land promise. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants were promised a small parcel of land on this planet. And that land is the land of Israel, the Holy Land. More of that territory is promised to the Jewish people than we have ever occupied. We have never occupied all of the promised land, and we do not do so today. And if the nation of Israel can be destroyed, if the Jewish people can be kept out of their land so that they do not enjoy their land, then that promise, that segment of the Abrahamic covenant, will not be fulfilled. And if only one tiny detail of God's promises is not fulfilled, then Satan has a case. Then he can say, see, God is not totally holy. It's a tiny flaw, but there still is a flaw in his character. So there is part of Satan's, part of the reason why Satan focuses on Israel and focuses on the destruction of the nation of Israel. He wants to negate the land portion promise of the Abrahamic covenant. Okay, so why is all this happening? Why is there an unending struggle going on in the Middle East? First of all, because this is a religious war. Paganism against biblical truth. Paganism says the Jewish people have no claim to the land. Biblical truth says that we do. Secondly, this is also a symptom of the battle of Satan against God. Satan wants to secure his career and be like God and take over the universe. And he has a lot of power and a lot of ability, being God's most wonderful created being. But he still is a creature. He is not the creator. And so this is a battle of the creature against the creator. It will end with the victory of the creator, the majestic victory of the creator. The creator is never in any way challenged by this. The third reason why all this is happening is there's promises made to the Jewish people, the promises of the Abrahamic covenant. One of those promises are a land in which the Jewish people will live, and that is the land of Israel today. If the Jewish people can be kept out of the land and not possess the land, then they will not receive that promise, and Satan's career is safe. And the final aspect we need to talk about is an aspect that some people get upset with me about, but it's one that we do need to consider, and that is the aspect that this unending struggle in the Middle East is discipline. It's discipline come upon the Jewish people because we have violated the Mosaic Covenant. We have not lived in accordance with the Mosaic Covenant, and the Mosaic Covenant is filled with blessings and curses. Blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. And we have disobeyed God in many, many aspects of our history. That's why we were dispersed throughout the world. That is one of the final disciplines of the Mosaic Covenant. But the Land Covenant also promises, the Land Covenant of Deuteronomy 30 also promises that after a period of worldwide dispersion due to disobedience, Israel will be returned to the land, restored to the land. Now, we are restored to the land, but Israel is restored to the land in disobedience today. Only less than 1% of the Jewish people worldwide and in Israel are believers in Jesus the Messiah. Only about 9% of the Jewish people in Israel and worldwide believe in God at all. The other 90% of the Jewish people in Israel and around the world are atheist and agnostic. They are not following the light that they have received in the Bible and in the Torah. The Jewish people are basically not following the Mosaic Covenant, especially those who are living in Israel. The Mosaic Covenant can only be fully obeyed by a Jewish person living in Israel. And since the Jewish community 99% of the Jewish community has rejected the Messiahship of Jesus and rejected the living under the New Covenant, then the Mosaic Covenant still stands. And if the Mosaic Covenant still stands, then we are in disobedience, and we're suffering the disciplines of the Mosaic Covenant. That is why the nations around Israel harass her inside and without. The nations around her have sent their armies against her, and yet she has defeated the armies. Yasser Arafat is now the chairman of the Palestinian Authority, which is inside of Israel, and harassing Israel from within. But why has he miraculously escaped being assassinated by his own people, being killed by the Jordanians, being assassinated by the Israelis, airplane crashes? Why has he survived all of this? Well, God raises up leaders and brings them down, and we have to acknowledge that God has raised up Yasser Arafat, an ungodly man, to do a job. This is exactly like the prophet Habakkuk complained about. God has raised up an enemy that is more ungodly than Israel is for the purpose of discipline. And Yasser Arafat is an ungodly man. He's a liar and a brutal liar. And yet God is using him to discipline the nation of Israel. This will come to an end at one time, but that is the case right now. We are living under the curses and disciplines of the Mosaic Covenant. Our enemies are harassing us from within and without. We are not living under the blessings of the Mosaic Covenant in any way, shape, or form today. So that is another unpleasant factor that answers the question, why is all this happening? Why is there this unending, brutal, bloody struggle going on in the Middle East now for some over 50 years? Well, again, that final one of the reasons is this fourth comment I've made, that we are suffering the disciplines of the Mosaic Covenant. Now, at this point, I would like to read a letter that was emailed to me from Merit. It was a positive letter from Israel, written by an Israeli. And this letter not only brings out some good thoughts to think about in regard to the struggle in the Middle East, but it also shows where the average Israeli is today. So let me go ahead and read this letter and make some comments at the end of it. The writer says, "I am not the least afraid to go any place by bus or to a mall. I didn't change or stop doing anything I used to do before this mess began. People tend to forget that twice the casualties from terror get killed on the roads." And you ought to drive in Israel. It's a crazy place to drive. "Twice the casualties from terror get killed on the roads. More people still die from heart attack, cancer, and other things. They just don't show them on TV. Don't misunderstand me. There's a war going on. It's not pleasant. But let's face it, we have never been better. It's only TV and media that make people think it's the end of the world coming. Only 60 years ago, they were leading Jews to their death like sheep to the slaughter. No country, no army, 55 years ago. Seven Arab countries declared war on the small Jewish state, only a few hours old. We were then 650,000 Jews against the rest of the Arab world. No IDF, no mighty air force, just tough people with nowhere to go. Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Egypt, Libya, Saudi Arabia attacked all at once. The country the UN, quote, gave us was 65% desert. The country started from scratch 35 years ago. I should say 35 years ago we fought the three strongest armies in the Middle East and wiped them out in 6 days. We fought against different coalitions of Arab countries with modern armies and masses of Russian Soviet weapons and still won. We have today a country and an army and a strong air force and high-tech economy exporting millions. Intel, Microsoft, IBM develop their stuff here. Our doctors win world prizes for medical developments. We made the desert flourish, selling oranges and vegetables to the world. Israel has sent its own satellite in space three satellites altogether. In space, we sit proudly with the U.S., 250 million people, Russia, 200 million people, China, 1.1 billion, the Europeans, France, England, Germany, 350 million people, as the only countries in the world to shoot something into space. Israel is today in the world nuclear power family with the U.S., Russia, China, India, France, and England. We don't admit it, but everyone knows. To think that only 60 years ago we were led shameful with no hope to our death. We crawled out of the burning ashes of Europe. We won our wars here with less than nothing in our hands. We built an empire out of nothing. Who is Mr. Arafat to make us scared? Terrified. You make me laugh. Passover was last month. Let's not forget what the story is all about. We overcame Pharaoh. We overcame the Greeks, the Romans, the Inquisition in Spain. We overcame the pogroms in Russia. We overcame Hitler, the Germans, the Holocaust. We overcame seven other Arab countries at once. We overcame Saddam. Take it easy, folks. We will overcome these ones, too. No matter at what part of human history you try to think of, for us, the Jewish people, our situation has never been better. So let's lift our heads high and remember, any nation or culture that tried to mess around with us was destroyed to the ground while we kept going. Egypt. Anyone know where their empire disappeared to? The Greeks. Alexander of Macedonia. The Romans. Anyone speak Latin today? The Third Reich. Anyone heard any news about it lately? And look at us, the nation from the Bible. From slavery in Egypt, we are still here, speaking the same language, right here, right now. The Arabs don't know it yet, but they will learn that there is one God. As long as we keep our identity, we are eternal. So, sorry for not worrying, crying, or being scared. Things are going okay here. They surely can go better. But still, don't fall for the media junk. They won't tell you that there are festivals going on. People keep on living, going out, seeing friends. Yes, our morale is low. So what? It's only because we weep for our dead while they enjoy the blood. And this is the same reason why we will win after all. You can still forward this email if you choose, or you can forward this email if you choose to the whole Jewish community in the United States and the world. They are part of our strength, and it might help some of them to keep their head high. Tell them there's nothing to worry about. Tell them to think big and to see the whole picture next year in Jerusalem. Well, that's an amazing letter, isn't it? I really enjoy it, because the letter is accurate. The letter is accurate, but the letter makes one mistake. And the mistake is the repeated word over and over and over again. We did, we did, we did, we did, we did. God is only mentioned one time. And that's the mistake of this letter, and unfortunately, it points out the very typical Israeli mindset, and I think probably a Jewish mindset around the world. In contrast to this letter, which tries to extol the power and ability of the Jewish people, actually the letter shows the reverse. The letter shows God's power. God has done all this. What we need to do is reread this letter, and instead of repeating the word "we will," "we did," we should insert the word "God did." God has done this. God has taken this little people from the Bible out of slavery in Egypt, and He has defeated nation after nation before us. And in the modern state of Israel, He has created the modern state, and He has given us the resources and the power and the ability to remain alive and to defeat our enemies. It's not the power of the Jewish people that has done this. It is God's power that has done this. And so this letter reveals a key mistake that the Jewish people and the Israelis are making today. One key mistake that we're making today, and that is confidence in man. God is only mentioned one time in this letter, and yet our confidence as Jewish people, our confidence should be as in God. And so, as you if you might want to rewind this tape or back up this CD and listen to this letter again, and instead of and edit it, change the author's word "we," to the word God and just be amazed as at what God has done with the Jewish people and what God has done keeping the nation of Israel alive and flourishing and growing as a witness to his power over the last 50-some years. Okay, I'm just about done with our theological wrap-out. Let me close with just one more thought. I'm going to read from a book called Heritage, Civilization, and the Jews by Abba Iban. Abba Iban is a very prominent Israeli man, and his book does not deal with the formation of the State of Israel and Zionism as such, but it ends with some very important words. And I want to read this to you because I think these words also show where we are in the Jewish community. These words, I think, are very typical of where we are in the Jewish community. This is what Abba Iban wrote at the end of the book, Heritage, Civilization, and the Jews. Quote, "When all is said and written and recorded, this book records a history unending and unsolved." Unending and unsolved. Questions can be asked, but they can never be fully answered. They come down to us across the centuries in four circles of mystery. First, he writes, this is Abba Iban writing, first, there is the mystery of preservation. How did this people manage to preserve its identity in dispersion and exile without a territorial base or political institutions or conditions under which no other person, no other people would ever survive? End quote. So he's asking the right question. He's more realistic than the Israeli who wrote the letter that I read just a few minutes ago, because the Israeli is not asking the question, how is this possible? The Israeli is saying, we did it, we did it, we did it, and he's not caring how is this possible. He's saying it's possible because of the power and ability of the Jewish people. But Abba Iban is looking at the Jewish people and looking at the modern state of Israel, and he's saying, how did this happen? It is a mystery. You can't account for it in normal human terms. So with due apologies to you, Mr. Iban, if you would just turn to Jeremiah 31, verses 35 and 36, God says that you have to destroy the sun, moon, and the stars before Israel ever cease to be a nation before him. And so the mystery of preservation that you posed has an answer. The answer is in Jeremiah 31, 35, and 36. Let me go on and continue to quote Abba Iban, and I quote, second, here's the other mystery, another mystery. Second, there's the mystery of resonance. Why do so many people have so large a voice so that whatever men do and think and say to this very day has been profoundly affected by the Jewish experience? Religion, philosophy, law, drama, science, art, politics, a political system, social institutions, moral ideas, all these have been profoundly agitated by the currents of the Jewish mind. Why? Again, Abba Iban is asking the right question. How is this possible that we as Jewish people could have such an impact over the centuries on the cultures of the world? And again, with all due respect, Mr. Iban, Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3 states that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through Abraham and his descendants. But you see, Abba Iban doesn't understand that. Most Jews today don't understand Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the Abrahamic covenant. So there is an answer, Mr. Iban, to the mystery of resonance. The answer is found in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Let me quote Abba Iban again. Third, there is the mystery of suffering, a mystery that passes all understanding and defies all parallel. He's doing the right job. Again, why have the Jewish people been so influential, but why have they been so persecuted? And our answer, Mr. Iban, is found in Deuteronomy 28:15. If you disobey me, I will bring all these curses upon you. Mr. Iban, we are God's covenant people. We're expected to follow him and to obey him. So the mystery of suffering has an answer as well in the curses of the Mosaic Covenant. And finally, we have the final question that Abba Iban asks. And finally, quote, There is the mystery of renewal, the ability to take a language, a land, and a people scattered for centuries and bring them back together in a new birth of independent life. Mr. Iban, the mystery of renewal has an answer too. It's found again in the scriptures. Mr. Iban, please turn to Isaiah 11, verses 11 and 12. Those verses state that in the days to come, the Lord will bring us back a second time from a worldwide dispersion. What we've studied in this class are the details relating to the first return from the worldwide dispersion. Remember, Isaiah 11:11 talks about two returns from all the nations in the world. Now, I'm sure Abba Iban has read his Bible, but he does not know this, does he? He doesn't know this. He doesn't understand that God is in charge and he is the one who will bring us back. He's brought us back the first time. That's what we've studied in this class. He'll bring us back a second time in preparation for the Messianic Kingdom. And I share this with you because I think he's so typical of where 99% of the Jewish community is these days. And I hope that this touches your heart. I hope it touches your heart the way it touches my heart. And I hope it brings home the reason why the principle of Romans 1:16 exists. The good news, the gospel, the good news is to go to the Jew first, because it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. And when that reality enters the Jewish heart, and we turn once again to our scriptures, the mysteries of this world are answered. The four mysteries are solved by the Bible. The four mysteries of Abba Iban, the mystery of preservation and resonance and suffering and renewal. All the mysteries are solved, Mr. Iban, if you'll just place your faith in Yeshua and place your trust in God's Word, the Bible. Well, that brings me to the end of our class. I hope that all of this class has inspired and motivates you to continue to be partners with us here at Hadavar Messianic Ministries as we attempt to do our very best, our dead-level best, to bring the good news of Jesus the Messiah, of Yeshua HaMashiach, to our people scattered all over the world. And so this brings our class to an end. Amen and amen. Thanks for being part of it.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. It's our aim in Hadavar Messianic Ministries to deepen your understanding of God's Word and to better equip you to share the Messiahship of Jesus with your Jewish friends, relatives, co-workers, and neighbors. To order additional tapes or for more information, you can contact Hadavar Messianic Ministries at hadavar@hadavar.org. That's hadavar@hadavar.org. Or write to Hadavar Messianic Ministries at 14804 Sand Canyon Avenue, Irvine, California, 92618. Or simply call us at 949-559-1701. Again, that number is 949-559-1701. Again, thanks for listening to this audio presentation of the First Regathering Modern Israel, brought to you by Hadavar Messianic Ministries.